Hi everyone, you're tuned in to Every Nation Gateway Online Church Service right now. It has been 5 weeks since we were last together in church. All right. Guess what? I really miss church. And if you miss church just as much as I do, I want you to tap on that love button right in your Facebook right now. All right. But meanwhile, stay in, stay safe. All right. If you are joining us for the first time, if you're tuning in for the first time, we are on this series called How Then Shall We Live. For 5 weeks, you know, we've been buying all sorts of things online. In fact, I live in a condo, and when I go down to my lobby, you find that it looks like a delivery depot. Okay? People buy all sorts of things. I saw one person bought a whole trolley of groceries. In fact, it was delivered right to the lobby itself. People bought pizzas, they bought dim sum, you know, noodles, all sorts of stuff, and all sorts of gadgets. And in fact, I saw somebody bought a brand new vacuum cleaner. You know. So everything seems to be going online today, and you find that a lot of us also probably do all our meetings online on Zoom, product presentations and all that. And I was just wondering, actually, you know, in the light of this crisis itself, especially those in the business of conference halls and event spaces, what will happen when people are also used to just meeting online? You know, how badly will their business be affected? All right. And in that light, actually, we came up with this series, How Then Shall We Live? Because there will be many How Then Shall We Live moments that we're going to consider. All right. We will never know how it will be like after the crisis is over. It's probably something for us to explore itself. Okay, how then shall we do our business? How then shall we bring our kids to extracurricular activities? How then shall we travel? You know, so a lot of things will come to mind. Okay, but when we came out with this series, we thought that we will lean on the Bible and come up with four areas at least where we can live victoriously, we can live out the abundant life that God has given us. And so 2 weeks ago when we started the series, we talked about how to live strong, live big. And that's because we have a victorious God. That's why we can live strong. We can have the courage to face our realities, to act on them in faith, and to know that God is there for us. And then last week we talked about live eternal. We talked about what eternal life was all about, how we can live out the abundant life itself, and how we should live life today with an eternal perspective. But tonight we're going to talk about live for others and not self. All right? And next week we're going to talk about live supernaturally. Okay, so tonight as we talk about live for others, we're going to go into look into a story, a very familiar story. In fact, it's a parable called the Good Samaritan. As you know, a parable is a short story that will illustrate a biblical principle or illustrate a valuable lesson, a valuable life lesson that we can learn. And so here we are, a little bit background to it. You find that it starts off with as what the Bible says, an expert of the law wanting to test Jesus. Okay, and he asked Jesus this question: how can I inherit eternal life? Jesus did not answer him directly. Jesus, in fact, posed him a question instead and said that, what does the law say? All right, and how do you read it? All right. You find that surprisingly, he answered correctly. He said, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So with that, we're not going to, though he talked about eternal life, but we're not going to jump into eternal life because we talked about that last week. But when you look at, when you listen to the answering, or when you look at the ensuing conversation that Jesus had with this lawyer and how Jesus narrated the story, you will learn powerful principles of how we need to respond to the needs of others. And secondly, we can also learn how Jesus models serving with compassion and serving with sacrifice and suffering. All right? And so with that, we're going to jump right in into Scripture. We're going to look at Luke chapter 10, verse 29 to 37. It'll be on your screen right now. Verse 29 says, "But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' This is an interesting thought because the next topic is about live for others. So who is your neighbor is a good question to ask. Verse 30 says, Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite whom he came to the place and saw him passed by on the other side. Verse 33, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. This story raises the question of how do we respond to the needs of others? You find that 2 out of 3 persons mentioned in that story itself, okay, when they saw the injured man, they turned away and went on as if nothing happened. Right? The road from Jerusalem to Jericho is a pretty long road. It's a 25-kilometer walk itself. And so there are many reasons why the priest or the Levite did not stop to help. Right? They are pretty decent people. A priest, he was a practicing priest, and the Levite is really part of the priestly lineage. So they could be very busy. I mean, they could have a lot of things going on. They could be rushing for a meeting. They could be rushing for an appointment. Or they could be rushing home because they're coming in from Jerusalem. Yeah, he could have finished his priestly duties or temple duties, and then now he's on the way home. And so you find that there are many reasons why people don't stop. Inconvenience is really one of them also. Right? But secondly, probably one of the good reasons is that being a Jew, you find that they are subjected to a lot of Jewish laws, and you find that if they were to accidentally touch a dead body, they will be considered ceremonially unclean, and therefore they would end up in quarantine for 7 days. And thinking about that, okay, it's like having false leave, all right? He will not be able to work, and henceforth he will not be paid. And I don't think he wants to be in that kind of situation. So again, you find that different people have different reasons. As you know, this story was narrated by Jesus 2,000 years ago. But I was just wondering, all right, if whether it would happen today, whether this kind of situation could happen today. And I want to ask you all, how many of you have come across a road accident? You drove by and you saw a road accident. How many of us would actually stop to go down and help the person? Maybe a handful. But I personally have done it once in my life. It was many years ago when I was young. I was riding the bikes with my friends, and one of them overtook us. He went very fast. He was racing off ahead, and from about 200 meters away, we saw he crashed into the drain. You know, so when we actually arrived on the scene, it was not a pretty sight. All right, and so how many of us actually do stop? Okay. Many of us will definitely slow down. We'll want to watch. Okay, some even may want to check out the number plate itself. All right. But very few people would actually stop. I have a story that I want to share with you. This happened, this is a true story. It came out in the papers way back in, I think, 2017. This happened in the province of Henan in China. All right? You will see it on the screen right now. It's a picture, but the video footage basically showed that this lady lying on the road right now, what happened was a taxi knocked her, and she fell, and she was lying there for more than a minute. All right, the footage showed that in that 1 minute, more than 30 people actually walked past Okay, there were motorcyclists that came past, there were cars that drove past as well, but no one even stopped to take a second look. No one even called the police. And what happened was, after that 1 minute, another car, which was a SUV apparently, it rolled over her, and of course she died from her injuries, right? So it is even surprising that we can read stories like that today, right? But it's not surprising if you know that because of our sinful nature, all right, we are naturally selfish. People are naturally selfish. And you find that in the times when Jesus was narrating this story, the Jews were like this, the Israelites were like this. They were caring more about themselves. And so when Jesus shared this story, he was just exposing the hearts of the Israelites, okay? That, you know, do not be selfish. You need to consider the needs of others, right? And so you find that Jesus was trying to shift their thinking, okay? Not from yourself, move the thinking about yourself to that about others as well, all right? And so what he did was he contrasted what the priest and the Levite did by describing how the Samaritan responded to the need of the injured man. And when we kind of like sit down and absorb how Jesus was describing the Samaritan, you can't help but realize that he was actually describing how he himself would do in his own ministry. You know, essentially, Jesus is a man who serves, is a man of compassion, all right? And you find that the way he described the Samaritan helping that injured man is a mirror image of what he would have done with his life and ministry. And so, if you look at the whole life, if you look at the life of Jesus as a whole, okay, the one thing stood out. And the one thing is that he serves, okay? And there's a one verse in the Bible that basically captures everything that that tells us why he came. All right? And it's found in, it's on the screen now, it's found in Matthew 20, 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This sounds like a mission statement for Jesus. He came primarily to serve, right? He came to serve, but also he came to sacrifice himself as a redemption of our lives. He came with the purpose to sacrifice, to liberate us from the penalty of sin. And so you find that in those days, okay, in those days, their understanding of serving is that the lesser people serve the greater people. In those days, people understood the relationship between the slaves, between the servants and the masters, right? And so Jesus was trying to shift their way of thinking, okay, that serving is not about the lesser serving the greater. And so he demonstrated it himself by saying that it's the greater serving the lesser. And so you find that, okay, Jesus rebranded the way of what people thought serving would be. And in so doing, he is saying that I am serving out of my greatness, not out of my weakness. Out of my greatness, I serve the people. That's what Jesus is demonstrating to us. And he's also saying that because of his greatness, he has the calling to serve, right? And so while Jesus took on the nature of a servant, all right, the Bible tells us that he took on the nature of a servant, but then when he served with power and authority. Okay? And in that sense, I want to encourage all of you that we can all serve just like Jesus. We can all serve just like Jesus because there is a higher power and authority working through us, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so in that sense, you find that all of us, if you take a pause now to look at this whole scene right now with the Samaritan, all right? He came and he saw, he served, all right? And so we want to ask ourselves, what was his posture of serving, okay? We find that he served with compassion. And in the verses that we read earlier, you find that the Samaritan cleaned the wounds of the injured man. He used the wine which is like an antiseptic, because in those days the wine had a little bit of alcohol, and so it acted like an antiseptic. He used the oil, which will help in the healing of the wounds. And then he didn't leave him by the roadside. He didn't just left him on the sidewalk itself. And if I were to paraphrase it today, it's as if he basically took him and drove him to the clinic. You know, and so he brought this guy, this injured man, to the clinic, and he left him there, okay, for rest and for recuperation. Okay, now as we move on, okay, we'll ask ourselves: did the Samaritan stop there? Okay, did he stop just by doing just enough to serve this person? Right? In verse 35, I want you to look at the scripture right now. If you look at the screen, it will be there for you. In Luke chapter 10, verse 35, all right, you find that the Samaritan took a posture of serving with sacrifice and suffering. Okay, in verse 35, it says, "And the next day," all right, "and the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.'" So you find that this Samaritan, he served above and beyond what was required of him. All right, he could have already done enough by dropping him off at the clinic, or in that sense, he dropped him off at the inn, let him recover, and he can move on with his life. But no, he did not. He did not do that. He went on further. He told the innkeeper, "Take care of this guy. This 2 denarii, okay? This is something like a deposit. Take care of this guy, okay? And whatever amount that you need, okay, whatever much you need to spend on this guy, do it." So he basically gave him a blank check. He told the innkeeper, "Spend what is necessary to help this person to get back on his feet," right? And that he will, on his way back, he would come back and repay this guy. And so here you find, all right, the Samaritan, he served above and beyond self, right? He's already has a cost. So sacrifice without suffering, okay, it's not a sacrifice at all, right? And it's something that I think we need to take note. Okay? When we say that we're going to sacrifice, there is a cost to it. There is a cost. There's a pain to it somehow. Right? So in this story itself, you find that aside from the fact that the Samaritan, okay, as soon as he stopped to help the injured person, all his schedules, all his plans for that day, for that night, or even for the next day, are all changed. Okay? Today, we can easily just use a mobile phone and call up and then reschedule everything. But for him, all right, he can only reset his plans after he's reached the destination. And so you find that he's already, in that sense, has lost opportunities there. Okay, but yet he did not stop there. And yet he went on, all right, to serve this person, and in that essence, gave the innkeeper a no budget treatment for this man. Okay? And so you find that when we serve, okay, we need to also serve sacrificially, and that's really how Jesus did it. All right, so when Jesus was describing this about the Samaritan, he was actually talking about himself. Okay? Because Jesus didn't come here only to serve the community. He didn't have compassion only just on the people and then heal the sick. He didn't just have compassion on them and then he fed the poor. No, he did more than that. He went a step further. He went onto the cross. He paid the penalty of sin for all of us. He died for our sins. So Jesus came not only to just serve the community, but he came to sacrifice himself for all of us. And that was a picture of how he was describing the Samaritan. And so in the light of that, how does it look like for us today? How can we emulate someone, okay, who will serve sacrificially in that sense? I have a story here actually. This story is a very recent story. It happened in 2019. If you look on the screen right now, you see a picture of Dr. Chin. He's Malaysian mountain climber. All right, Dr. Chin is in blue in the picture. He's standing beside his Shepa. All right, a Shepa is a member of the Himalayan people who are experts in mountaineering. Okay, these are the ones who are the guides, so to speak, in that area. And so Nima is his name. He's standing beside Nima. All right. And what happened was on April 24th of 2019, all right, Dr. Chin was climbing that mountain, Annapurna itself. I think that's the 10th highest mountain in the world. And he got stranded near the Mount Summit. Okay. And so Nima was sent to rescue him. When Nima found him on April 25th, when Nima found him, that he was on the brink of death, right? He was already, because of the treacherous conditions and the freezing conditions in that place, he was on the brink of death. Right? But Nima endured that time with him and the struggle down, okay, to Camp 4. Camp 4 is a base, okay, and he took him a day to do that. And so by the time they arrived on April 26th, fortunately there were enough other climbers who was able to get there, and Dr. Chin was airlifted to Singapore for treatment. Nima was interviewed later. Okay, this is what he said, all right. When he found Dr. Chin, all right, the condition was already so bad, okay, and he lost consciousness when he was trying to descend from 8,000 meters high. All right. And so in the process of that, Nima had to share his oxygen with him. Okay. And in so doing, he suffered severe headaches, shortness of breath, and as was reported, we know today that Nima is suffering from high altitude cerebral edema. And so, and in the process itself, okay, as he was struggling to bring Dr. Chin down to the base camp itself, he suffered spine injuries. He had three of his frozen toes, which I think can't be used today. And in the process, as we find that he wasn't able to anymore earn his livelihood. And so as a result of that, actually, someone actually started a crowd fund for him. And so he's getting money from various people in the fund. But the moral story is this, all right? The moral story is this. When Nima discovered Dr. Chin, all right, the conditions were so treacherous that even his own life was in danger. Okay. But despite the fact that his life was also in danger, in fact, both of them could have died up there. Okay. But he did not abandon Dr. Chin. Despite all that, he stayed with him and he did his best to try and bring him down at the cost of possibly his own life. And, you know, Nima demonstrated actually that he did his work. He didn't just simply complete a task, but actually he went above and beyond what was required of him. Okay. And in that sense, if we are to live for others and not self, okay, this is something that we have to always consider. How do we see also the needs of others, not just on ourselves? Obviously, we're not going to not care about our own selves. You know, we need to obviously be concerned of ourselves. But yet at the same breath, yet at the same time, we should also be aware of the people around us, be aware, be observant of what are the needs are of others, that we can be a good Samaritan, all right, in that sense. And so this is a story that kind of like gives us an idea, gives us an idea how we can in turn, you know, serve for others. And as I come to my last point, okay, that's on the PowerPoint on the screen right now, right? We come back to the question which the lawyer asked Jesus, right? And it's found in verse 29. It says, "And who is my neighbor?" All right. And so in Luke chapter 10, verse 37, Jesus said this, "The one who showed him mercy," and Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." You find that the word neighbor appears both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, right? Whether it's in Hebrew or in Greek, it just means that a neighbor is someone that we are associated with. Okay, for us today, basically, our closest neighbor is really our spouse. Okay, your closest neighbor is not the guy who lives next door. All right, you wake up in the morning and you open your eyes, and there you are, your beautiful wife or your handsome husband is right there. Okay, so that's your closest neighbor. And then it goes on to your family, your work colleagues, your business, and then your church people. So in that sense, neighbor was somebody that you were associated with at that point in time, okay? But Jesus, again, right, in this story, broke that ceiling. He turned everything around and he said that, you know, who was that neighbor to him? Okay, and so you find in this story, the neighbor is anyone that you encounter, regardless of religion, regardless of his race, regardless of whatever society it comes from. Okay, for as long as it's somebody that we encounter, somebody that God brings into our lives, in that sense, a divine appointment or whatever, all right, that he is your neighbor. And so God broke that ceiling. Jesus broke that ceiling, and instead of just being someone that we associated with, now it's all, it's anyone that is encountered. And so it fits exactly to what we are talking today, all right? How shall we live then in our lives? We shall live for others. Others, as in, everyone is a neighbor to us today, all right? And so with that, I want to encourage you that we can serve like Jesus, we can serve with compassion, we can serve sacrificially, and we can indeed, okay, care for the needs of those whom God brings into our lives, all right? And I'd like to end with a prayer. If you will bow your heads with me, dear Lord, we just want to thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that indeed you have modeled for us how we can serve in our lives today. Indeed, even as you said that we are to serve out of greatness, Lord, we pray indeed that we can indeed emulate you. We can go out and serve in strength, serve it sacrificially, knowing that the Holy Spirit is with us, and that we can do it not from our own strength, but from the strength that you give us, oh God. And so, Lord, we thank you for this, and we want to pray indeed that you continue to open new doors for us, give us the opportunity, lead us to the right people that we can indeed be a blessing to. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, before you leave this, as usual, we have the Do Something. Recently, I came across an article about Tan Boon Hyeong. I think he is one of our doubles ace badminton player before he was world number one. Apparently, he has started a badminton academy, all right, since in December of 2019. And he was saying this, that he remembered, he said that he remembered when he was young, he was very poor, and that he didn't have enough money even to train. And so he didn't have 15 ringgit to pay to his coach for training. But he said that even though he didn't have the money, the coach was generous enough, was kind enough to take him in and train him. And so he remembered that, and he said that today, even as he started this academy itself, all right, he is open, all right, for if you have a talent, but if you don't have the money for the coaching fees, he's open to coach the youngsters. And so, you know, this is another example of how we can serve, how we can go out, make a difference in society, make a difference in our community. And so even as a church, this is really what we want to do. We want to encourage you to go out and make a difference in someone's lives. And so what we're going to do something now is this, okay? We want you to engage with us on our Facebook. There's a link there. We want to encourage you, kind of give us a suggestion. What do you want to do to be a blessing or to be able to serve someone sacrificially? And so we'd like to hear from you, and who knows, maybe we can work with you on that. All right, thank you and good night. God bless. See you next week.